Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 4, verses 11 through 12 and 22 through 28. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. At that time it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind comes for me out of the bare heights in the desert towards my poor people. Not to winnow or cleanse, a wind too strong for that. Now it is I who speak in judgment against them. For my people are foolish, they do not know me. They are stupid children, they have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins, before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Because of this the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above grow black. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Kathy always asks me during the announcement time if there's anything else. And I usually say, not that I can think of. And then I think of something. Couple of things I just want to share this morning. The first thing I want to thank Hunter Martin for being our liturgist this morning. He was filling in for his grandmother Karen, who is not feeling well, and he got a last minute summons. And I want to thank Hunter for doing that. Thank you very much. The other thing I want to do is I want to just say happy birthday. We missed this last Sunday. We caught it about Tuesday, but last Sunday, September the 8th, was the 60th birthday of the Trinity Preschool. 60 years. Yeah. And they are doing better than ever. It is, it's a wonderful ministry in our community, and we just need to recognize that. Yeah, scrapbooks in the narthex from the first 50 years. So look through some of those scrapbooks and see if you recognize anybody. The other thing I want to do is I just want to call your attention briefly without going into a lot of detail about we are in Close to Kids Month. Drop off your drawers. You've got all the information you need right here, except one little piece of information, and that is, where do they get those coupons? Do you have some, Kathy? Kathy's got coupons, and Cindy Conley has coupons. So if you want to get your coupons, check with them after the worship service. Our second scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. Jeff has already alluded to this reading in the time with the younger members of our congregation. So now I invite you to listen to these parables from the Gospel of Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. Two hikers were hiking along a river, and one of them noticed a plastic water bottle floating in the river. They retrieved that bottle from the water, and on the side of that bottle, scratched in that hard plastic, was the word "help." And inside that bottle was a note. This story was reported in newspapers and on news programs and on the internet widely last week. That note basically said, "We are stuck. We're at the waterfall. Get help, please." And these two hikers walked 2 miles. We're not sure if it was out of their way or on their way, but it was 2 miles from the location where they discovered that bottle to a campground, and they turned it over to officials who got it to park officials, who got it to a rescue unit, and by that night, a helicopter was hovering over the three people who were stranded. And a light shone down on them, and a voice from the darkness said, "Stay where you are. We'll be back in the morning." And sure enough, they came back, lifted them out of that river canyon, and brought them to safety. These people were lost. They were lost. They had been hiking, or they had been canoeing down a river and had reached a waterfall. And one of the members of the party had done this before, but it had been several years, and knew that there was always a rope attached to the rocks at this waterfall that was there for the specific purpose for people to let down their canoes and also to rappel down to the bottom of the fall and continue their trip. But they had gotten there and discovered there was no rope. And they were stuck. They couldn't go upstream. They had nowhere to hike because the canyon walls were on either side of them, much like the next slide you will see. They looked up and saw nothing but cliff. They could not go over the waterfall. They could not go back upstream in their boats. They were stuck. They were lost. Now, they weren't lost. They knew where they were. They had not lost their way, but they were lost to other people who had no idea where they were. And so they came up with the idea of scratching "help" on this water bottle, putting a note in it, and throwing it as far as they could, hoping that it got past the currents of that waterfall and would go downstream. And sure enough, it did. They were persistent about being found. They took the initiative to be found. The parables that we heard this morning from the Gospel of Luke are often interpreted as we human beings having persistence, being determined to get out of a difficult situation or to achieve a goal. They're often interpreted as being stories about us going out and finding someone else. We like to be the shepherd in the story, and we like to be the woman in the story. But there's another kind of persistence in these stories. It's persistence that the dictionary defines this way: existing for a long or longer than usual time, or continuously, retained beyond the usual period, continuing without change in function or structure. When something is persistent, it is the same. It continues. And I would like to suggest to us that this may very well be what these parables are about for us. They're about this kind of persistence, which is, as Jeff suggested to the children earlier, this is the persistence of the divine. This is divine persistence that is always with us, always around us. Divine persistence. And another way you might say that is divine presence. And these parables talk about this divine persistence as relentless grace, even in the middle of desolation or despair and loss. The Jeremiah passage this morning, 99% of that passage is a continuation of Jeremiah's warning the people of Judah that they are going down the wrong path. It reminds them that they are going toward desolation. They are going toward destruction. They're going down the path that will lead them to the top of the waterfall with no way back. But there's one little phrase, And my guess is that most of us didn't catch it when Kathy was reading it. Amidst all this desolation that Jeremiah says is coming, this one little phrase has God saying, "Yet I will not make a full end." Yet I will not make a full end. It's there in every one of the prophecies. It's there in every one of the warnings to us in the Bible, primarily from the Old Testament prophets, but also New Testament prophets, John the Baptist and Jesus. That phrase comes out in different ways, but it is always there saying, there is always hope. Because God, the divine persistence, the divine presence, is always with us. And the key is repentance. It's always changing. Changing our perspective. Changing the way we understand the world. The way we see one another. Changing the way we act. The way we treat one another. That's what repentance is. It's a change. It's a turning. A turning from separation, an understanding that we are each individuals and that we determine our own destiny. It's a separation and determination that we think we live in. But in repenting, we turn away from that separation and determination toward connection. We realize that we are not really separate. We are not really individuals. We are literally connected with one another and with the entire creation around us. And once we realize we are connected, we are called into participation in creation. Instead of imagining ourselves somehow outside of creation. So repentance is a turn from the illusion of separation and determination, and toward the divine created reality of connectivity and participation. Listening to the words of that wonderful hymn that the choir shared with us. Toward the end of that hymn, there's this verse, and I know I will quote it badly, but there's this verse that says, "And when the trumpet sounds and the clouds part, all will be well with my soul." Why can't we imagine those words as not the end of our life or some fantastic fantasy of rapture into heaven? Why can't we imagine those words as being opening our minds and opening our imaginations and changing our perspective when the clouds open up and roll back? We can see this divine persistence and presence for what God really is. True repentance. Now I know this all sounds very theoretical and ethereal, but in our daily lives, we all have our canyons and waterfalls. We all reach places in our lives where we think we have no options. We feel lost. We feel as if nobody cares or nobody knows where we are in our lives. Many of us get like that at different stages in our lives for different reasons. And what the gospel invites us to do is to remember. There's that old word again. Remember. Remember that God is always with us. That is the quintessential foundational promise of the Bible and of the gospel. That God is with us. Always. Regardless of where we are in our lives, regardless of where we may perceive ourselves as a congregation or as a community or as a nation and as a planet. Because in all of those areas of life, my friends, there are canyons today. And there are drop-offs that we don't see how we will get beyond them. But the gospel tells us there is always hope. Because God says, yet I will not make a full end. We may think it's the end, but it's really not. You know, for many years, Peg and I lived out in southwest Oklahoma. And the folks in southwest Oklahoma had a saying, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from here. But I think what the gospel tells us is, we may think we see it, but it's not. So we are invited into this idea of repentance through these two parables about persistence. And it's not our own can-do attitude. I can take charge of things and make things work. It's we all rest in the eternal grace and presence of God. And by doing so, that's when we begin to find our way. And in traditional evangelical religious terms, we are no longer lost. We have been found. When the reality is, we never really are lost. God always knows where we are. Amen. I selected that closing hymn this morning because it asks the question, am I the coin? Am I the sheep? Am I the prodigal? And the answer to that question is, you bet you are. You bet I am. We all are, because we all live in God's grace. all the time, surrounded by it, held by it, nurtured by it, even in the darkest hour. You know, there's another piece to that rescue out in that river canyon by that waterfall. And I searched and searched and searched to find the answer this morning on the internet, but I didn't find it, and I don't think we've found it yet. We don't know who those two men were. They turned that bottle in, and they walked away, and no one has seen them since. That, my friends, is God's presence in our lives. It comes and it goes. And it's there when we most need it. Let us go from here in that presence. Amen.